Thank you for leading us in worship this morning, and we do thank the Lord we have something to sing about. We talked about this in the earlier service. We have so much to rejoice in, no matter what is going on in our lives, because of the Lord Jesus who is alive. And we hope each one of you know the reality of what that means. Because Christ loved you, that's why he died for you, and he wants to share that life, give that life to you. And as we're together this morning, we just need God's help, God's grace, God's guidance. I was thinking, as we're all here, we're all so different. We come from such different zones, situations. I don't know what your week's been like, but God loves you. He has one more step for you in life. And there's something in this passage that he wants to share with you that will have a contribution to your journey, okay? Because not because of who I am, but because of who he is, and because his word is his word. So let's just ask him to help us. God, we're here. We come. We're needy. we're all needy. We're in a broken world, and we come to you by way of your Son, and just ask that you will guide us by your Spirit, that we'd be in tune with what you want said to our hearts, and that we will allow you to change our lives. We thank you that you, by your Spirit, are in our presence, you're in our midst, and you love us and want the best for us, so we thank you. We entrust our time to you in Christ's name. Amen. You all know the little saying, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Well, that's pretty reflective of where our world is at. Broken. I saw this just yesterday. So sad. Florida teen kills his mother over an argument over a bad grade. 15 years old. The police officer said, all our hearts break for this family. Well, we live in a broken world. You know, it didn't used to be like this. Used to have a nice neighborhood. You could walk at night and not get mugged. Well, that goes a long ways back, though, doesn't it? I'd like to start, we're going to end up in Romans 5, but I'd like to start at Genesis chapter 1, where it was. The good old days, we could say. Genesis 1:27, and you know this passage when I start, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And it says this, God blessed them. Isn't that awesome? God blessed them. And dropping down to verse 31, God saw all that he had made. I mean, God stands back. It's like standing back and looking at this amazing production. And he said, behold, it was very good. It was very good. You know, for God to say that, it's a lot different than for me to say that. Because that means it's overwhelmingly good. Very good. The best that it could be. Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. This must have been the most beautiful. I was driving down today, and I'm sure you did. You know, a lot of the leaves have come down, but there's still a few trees. They have lots of beautiful leaves on them. Well, this is the way the whole garden was. It was absolutely gorgeous. Everywhere you turned was beautiful. And the Lord took Adam and his wife to the garden to cultivate, keep. And then the Lord said in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree. I did, you know, that the Lord kind of underlined that word as I was reading this week. Any tree Now just think how many trees there were. There must have been gobs and amazing number of trees. From any of these trees, you can freely eat. Isn't God a great God? We think, oh, God's so uptight, so narrow. Absolutely not. You can take any of these trees with one little exception. He says, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely, what? Die. One little tree. Out of all the options. Well, you know the story in Genesis 3. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from the fruit, ate. She gave it also to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Of course, Satan had a ploy in this, a play. He made it sound like this is the best deal on the planet. But notice then, their eyes, both of them, were opened. Isn't it interesting? To see something they never saw before. Verse 8 of chapter 3. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife, what did they do? Oh, come out. Oh, hi, God. No. They ran and hid. All the time before this, God came to them. It was like, you love your kids and you give them a big hug, right? I'm so glad to see you. And they were so glad to see him. Not this time. Something had totally changed. And they did their best to hide. Shows something serious has happened. Then the Lord knew what was going on. Verse 17 of the same chapter of Genesis 3, Then to Adam he said, you've eaten, and I'm jumping just a little bit, you've eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it. Cursed, this is the outcome, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles, and I would add dandelions, and it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust. That's how they were created, out of the dust. And to dust you shall return. Man. We have here the entrance of sin and death into the world. Those were the good old days before this came. Not so now. Notice, now let's go, if you'll turn with me back, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I want to drop down to verse 12. Now notice, if you're there, when you get there, the little word that opens our door, it's the doorway to this passage, therefore. Now, therefore, when you have that little word, it reflects back to something that's preceded, right? Well, what preceded? Well, it talks about the Romans is an amazing masterpiece in explaining the gospel, God's good news. And the salvation that comes from that gospel. Now, notice, I read these words in the same chapter, Romans 5, but I go all the way back to verse 1. Therefore, there's another therefore. Therefore, having been justified by faith, when you trust Christ as your Savior, God declares you righteous. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, how we need peace. You have peace, and then that's not all. Verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. So not only do we have peace with God, but we're in this sphere of grace. It's amazing. This salvation is so over the top. Awesome. And then in verse 11 it says, we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we now have received the reconciliation. Our problems are dealt with by God. Our biggest problem is dealt with. The result of salvation, the result of the gospel, is that we have peace with God, a position in grace, in the sphere of grace. God has so blessed us. And we have a prospect of glory, as the passage talks. We got a great future ahead of us. If you know the Lord Jesus, you got something awesome ahead. In the salvation, that's ours. But you know what? That came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God has somewhat of an explanation point. Because there's another man who brought in the pain. That's why we needed a Savior. Therefore, you got all this wonderful stuff, but just a heads up, how we got in this mess, just as through one man, verse 5:12, just as through one man, sin entered into the world. That takes us all the way back to Genesis, doesn't it? To Adam. As salvation came through the one man, Jesus Christ, so sin and death came through the one man, Adam. Now, we need to understand this. Paul is very, very thorough in Romans. He doesn't leave any stone unturned in trying to help us understand. And some of these explanations, it may not seem that relevant to us, but it was very relevant to his audience because many of them were Jewish. They were struggling with, like, what's all this all about? And they had all, and he was dealing with opponents. There was always people, all they wanted to do was argue. And so he knew ahead of time the arguments, and so he's trying to deal with those arguments. And you might have some of the same arguments. But notice, through one man, just one man, it's a key word in this whole passage. It's used 11 times. One man, Adam, as we just read. One transgression by Adam. And then we get to the good news, one man, Jesus Christ. And one act of righteousness, which we'll talk about later. One man brought in a big mess. Through one man, sin. How can you define sin? So corrosive. So heartbreaking. Think of all the sad things. This is the one we mentioned, but all the other things, all the heart things that have broken, been a part of hurting you, injuring you, wounding you, have come by way of sin. Now, this one man, through his decision to ignore what God said, to move forward in his own will, sin entered, notice again, entered into the world. It invaded our world. It came in. Death came with sin. Now, death, obviously, we get it. It's physical. People die physically. They're separated from loved ones. Death is spiritual. Remember, Adam hid from God. Death, spiritual death, separates us from God. And you know what? If you don't face this issue, you don't deal with this issue, you will have eternal death, eternal separation from God. God obviously does not want that to be the case. You know, death just, it came in like a hurricane. And if we were going to go back, and I'll read this for you, but in Genesis 5, it talks about, it's kind of like death row. Now, it's interesting, you know, when God says something, And if something doesn't happen immediately, then you think, well, that God wasn't telling the story, right? God wasn't telling the truth. You know how many years Adam lived after God said, "You shall die"? Well, he obviously died spiritually right at that moment. But it was over 900 years before he died physically, but he did die. And in Genesis 5, it talks about Adam lived 930 years, and then in dropping down to verse 8, Seth, another one in this line, he lived 912 years, he died. And then in verse 11, Enosh, he lived 905 years, and he died. 900 years sounds like an awful long time, right? But anyway, everybody keeps dying. Everybody has kept dying. And so, notice in our passage again, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, it spread to all men. The idea of he entered, as one says, it's like somebody, if you open the door of your house, and sin came in. I remember one time I was, this is years ago in Nova Scotia, and I was at my office and I heard somebody's knocking at the door, right? And I thought, oh, so anyway, I went and I looked. I could see through the glass, right? And I thought, oh no, there was this lady out there. Well, this lady, she was just unique. She was a unique lady, right? And I thought, oh man, I don't want to open that door. But I didn't want to be rude either, right? So I didn't want to be rude. So I go, and I think, oh, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just open the door a little bit, and I'll go out, and I'll talk to her. And then, you know, well, that didn't work. I tell you what, she came in like a flood, right? And she zoomed in, right? And the man, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, we need some real help here, right? Sin came in like that, and then death followed. It just came right in the door of our world. And it spread to you and to me. That's a scary part, isn't it? It spread. It's like this cancer. How much heartbreak? How much heartbreak? The very first funeral that I had as a young man, just out of school, and the very first funeral I had, we were ministering occasionally to this one little church, and they had some young families, and I got the call. One of the young moms to be had lost her baby. And I thought, oh man, my first funeral was the death of a baby. Can you imagine the heartbreak of these young, and they're just young parents. I remember it was a very small funeral because it was just the whole nature of everything, and we were at the graveside, and it was just so sad. Death is so sad. It hits us in the gut, especially if someone we've lost who we've been close to. And death came. It rushed in, and it has got to us. You know, it's interesting to me, in our culture, we kind of almost glamorize death. I find this interesting. You know, you're driving down the road, and you got this, you know, cool pickup truck up in front of you, you know, and you're looking on the thing, and he's got this skeleton on the back of his truck. Now, if you've got one of those, you know, talk to me afterwards. I'll help you get it off. But anyway, so he's got this skeleton, you know. Yes, death, yes, let's do it. You can only do it once, right? I'm thinking, why is this such a glamorized thing? You got this skull. Is that where you're planning? You know, are you looking forward to this? Yeah, right. Now, let's think about this. Death is not our friend. But Adam opened the door. Now, because all have sinned. This is interesting. This is a complicated passage. Death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, this is not the easiest passage to deal with, and people have different views on it. I'll just mention two. There are more. All have sinned because we were in Adam physically, genetically, when he sinned. That's true. You know, our genes go all the way back. Another view that is also held is Adam is our representative. He's our, they call it, our federal head. And that is true as well. As one says, the federal headship considers Adam the first man as a representative of the human race. And as a representative of all humans, Adam's act of sin was considered by God to be the act of all people, and his penalty of death was judicially made the penalty of everybody. It's like, I mean, maybe this is a simplistic illustration, but if our government, the leadership of our government, declares to go to war, we all go to war. They represent us. Now, one has said, and I think this is a helpful balance, there's a great mystery in connection with sin. How can sin start with one man and spread until it permeates the whole world? It is a fact that sin entered into the world and that death entered as a result. It is a fact that men sin. Paul does not attempt to expand his explanation. We don't have a lot of details on this. But the reality of is the door was opened by Adam and sin came in. And we all are impacted. You say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. Well, I mean, I kind of hear that. I feel that. You know, we think, well, if I was Adam, I would have made a whole lot better choice. Yeah, right. Probably not. But Paul knows that some people are going to say, this is not fair. And he does some more explaining just to kind of elaborate. He doesn't totally answer all the questions, but he gives us some additional insight. Now, notice what he says in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. Okay, so there's a lot of Jewish people out there. You know, it may not mean much to us, but a lot of Jewish people, the law was everything, right? That was the big deal. So he says, okay, I know what you're thinking. That when the law was given at Moses, but what about all those people after Adam before the law was given? That's a long span of time. And he elaborates. He says, until the law, sin was in the world. Okay? Now, that's pretty easy to see. The heartbreak of Adam and Eve's boys, two boys, one murders the other one. I guess sin was around, right? Sure it was. But sin, it says in the version I'm reading from, was not imputed. That's kind of a big word. One simply talks of this word. It has the idea of itemized. In other words, it was put to your account. Like you have a list of all the things you did wrong. You know, your mother's got it. You know, okay, you did this, you did this, you did this, right? But it wasn't itemized in the sense before the law because it didn't have the whole code of the law, right? You didn't have all the standards. You know, you didn't have the Ten Commandments. You say, well, you know, I'm scot-free. It's like you're driving down the road and you can drive as fast as you want because there's no speed zone. Oh, you young people would love that, right? Right? No, well, you can't arrest me. There's no zone. There's no law here. The problem is you can still kill yourself or your other guy, right? See, sin was in the world, but it wasn't codified in the way it was after the law. But it was still around. Now, the code made it more clear. And obviously before the law, we were in conflict. Those who were alive were in conflict with God's character, which ultimately is the standard of what is right and wrong anyway. But, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. Okay, we know sin's around, right? Because death was around. Remember our list? Everybody's knocking off. They're all gone. Nevertheless, death reigned. And you know what? That's a strong word. Hey, they reign like the king. I'm in charge here, death says. And it was. It reigned. The whole point is Adam started this mess. Now, yeah, we're all sinners. All of sin falls short of the glory. None of us are exempt. And that was true from the day Adam sinned. But sin is still. Now, one of the things is, his arguments is this. Adam opened the door. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, we might think, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, but Christ also shut the door. He made it possible. None of us have to die spiritually to be separated from God for eternity. One man brought the mess. one man brought the solution. And we should be the most happy, thankful people in the world. Because we have an access to know what has been provided. Now notice, the offense, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who have not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. So it's talking about those people before Moses and the law. They still died. But then we get to this, who is the type of him who was to come. Now, Adam represented, in some sense, the Lord Jesus, obviously in a far different way. But there was one man who brought the mess, one man who came to resolve the mess. They were both figureheads. They were both representatives of those who would join them, of him who was to come. By a man came death, 1 Corinthians 15, 21. Adam brought the greatest human holocaust. Christ brought the greatest divine grace. And that's what we want to look at. You know, the fact is, we all start on death row. We all start on death row. The wages of sin is death. The question is, do you want to stay on death row? Do you want to stay there? Now, I was thinking, I'm not sure. I've got to borrow this chair. I don't want to borrow a guitar because I don't want to pay for it. Okay. My dear friend, what a gift. He's right on the front row, right? What a gift. Okay, Liam. Okay, now sit in the chair. Now let's just think. Liam has committed the ultimate crime. He stole something from me. Whatever, right? Okay, he's on death row. Now let's just say on death row, and Liam deserves to be there because he offended me, right? So he's on death row. He's going down. His sentence has been given. And his time is short. But somebody comes along. Somebody comes along. Some person comes along and says, you know what? I am willing to take Liam's place and pay Liam's price. And Liam would have the option. To stay on death row and take his rightful penalty, or he could accept the offer and be freed from death. You see, we're all on death row. We're all in a cell. We all start in the cell that leads to death. And that's where grace comes in. God has an answer. But the question is, and we'll give just a little bit more, but the question I have for you is, are you still on death row? Are you still in the cell even when the person has come to make the option to let you go free? Christ paid the price. You don't have to stay here. But you know, a lot of people have chosen, continue to choose to stay and pay and die for their own sin. Wouldn't that be a tragic choice? You don't have to stay there. And I know Liam chose not to stay there. So you can also go back, okay? That's where his good friends come in, right? Now, I want you to we're going to take a moment. Just look at one more verse for just a quick moment. I want you to look at this. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. A contrast. But the free gift is not like the transgression. No, I don't want you to miss them. This is a free gift. Now just think. How much would you pay to get out of prison? Oh man, I'd give everything. You don't have to give anything on this. It's a free gift. It's amazing. A lot of people think they can earn this gift. But you can't. It's too costly. The free gift, notice what it says. The free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, including us, we died spiritually, we'll die physically, much more did the grace of God, God's favor toward us that we cannot earn and we do not deserve. His grace, God's grace. His amazing love wrapped up in provision in His Son. It's not like the transgression. Now notice, much more, that's a huge word in this little passage, much more, way over the top. The grace of God, God's favor, this gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, the gift we could say of salvation, God's grace, God's undeserved favor, offers us this gift of salvation in His Son. Again, it's a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace of the one man. Notice, you can't miss this. Of the one, many died, but much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Abound to the many. You see, death reigns through Adam. But grace abounds through Christ. Imagine some of you have been in the desert. And you're driving through, maybe in the West and down in the States. But you've been in some place, there's no rain. Absolute disaster. I mean, if you're out there on your own, without transportation, without food, without water, your time is short, right? It's absolute disaster. You're going through there, and I remember one time we were driving along, we were on our way from Texas to California, we're driving, and we hit the desert, and as we were starting in, we were leaving Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we're starting in, it wasn't too far in, and we saw this big barrel and it said the last water for 100 miles. I thought, we are definitely not going in the right direction, right? Can you imagine? And that wasn't for drinking, that was for putting in your car. But see, that's where people are in death. We're in the desert. We're in the desert. But I remember, I know I've shared this before, but in the dirty 30s, it was around where I was raised, where the center of the dirty 30s, and that's a long time back, but there's no rain for about 10 years in the midst of the States. No rain, or very little rain. Didn't make a difference. Nothing would grow. You know, one of the things that changed that, it did rain, but later on, one of the things that changed it, because you still have seasons. I remember Marty's sister was saying to us, who still lives in Kansas, they had a drought just recently. But you know, one of the things that changed in the Midwest, in the farming community that I was raised in, is irrigation. Where there, you didn't get rain from above, but you could get rain from below, and you drill a well, and you could go down, and you would drill a well. And I remember in that old, dry, hot, western Kansas weather, and you'd see that water coming up. It was the most beautiful sight for a Kansas boy. It was abounding. Abounding. And grace abounds in the midst of the drought. You see, sin and death reign. That's the drought. We live in a world of terrible drought, terrible desert. People are dying every day, physically, and many of them are entering into eternity without Christ, they are forever dead. But when you come to Christ and you realize He died for me, He rose from the dead, His grace is sufficient to save me, His grace is abounding. It's like fresh water coming up through the ground in a desert land. And it's all I need for life. Don't miss out on the abounding grace. Don't stay. Don't stay in the reigning death. Come to the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. God, I would imagine some are still in the desert. Some are still on death row. Some have never really realized that they need Christ desperately or it's death forever. Father, our prayer, our love, our concern is that they will put their faith, trust in the Lord Jesus and in Him alone to be their Savior. And Father, for those of us who have put our faith in Him, may we realize we are the recipients of abounding grace, and it is overflowing. We thank You, we thank You, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.